Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of Why Choose One, where I am giving you one fuck of an update. listen here. When I first started season 3 about the heartbreak series, I really felt inspired to teach people what it was like to be heartbroken and non-monogamous, you know, especially polyamorous people where you're heartbroken and you still have other partners. Or I really wanted to dive into just, there were so many subjects about managing heartbreak, regulating emotions that I really wanted to dive into. And for some fucking wild... I manifested something, okay? I recorded, not that long ago, about how polysaturated I was. And then once I started recording the Heartbreak series, I had lost 5 partners, including my now ex-husband. And I've, like, recorded this particular episode probably, 4 times. Just not finding the right words of fucking crazy ass chaos that has been my life. And I can't even explain in great detail how fucking wild life has gotten. And so with that being said, I really wanted to touch on some very important things that I wish somebody told me. And I say this very slowly because I'm really wanting to use my words wisely in this episode, because it's my first one coming back after quite of a bit of a break. It's my first one being like, okay, I am a single, non-monogamous girl in the dating world who's experienced a fuck ton of grief and life transition. And so not a lot of, like, this is a niche kind of episode. So if you are, you know, even if you're just listening to this because you listen to all of my episodes, which I love you, thank you. You know, it's just such valuable information that I feel like we don't talk about enough. The dating world is trash. And I don't mean like cute trash, okay? I mean hot mess, fire dumpster trash. Nobody wants to, like everybody uses these hot words, okay? So on my dating profile, I have on there like, I really value emotional intelligence, secure attachments. You know, I talk about like communication styles, stuff like that. And because that's what's really important to me in another partner. But like finding somebody who is even like remotely open to learning about these subjects, let alone, like, I don't even care if they're well-versed. I just want them to be open to learning how to communicate and how to have a secure attachment. But that's not the baseline. That's so far from the baseline. And then, you know, being a non-monogamous person, listen, I was like, is there a problem with me? Because of course one looks at that when you lose so many partners in such a small period of time. And, you know, I did a lot of therapy, and of course in every connection, there's faults on both sides, right? When it dissolves. Usually, I feel like there's always some kind of fault on both sides. But, you know, like, so I'm not saying like I did nothing, but I, you know, I kind of was just like, I experienced a lot of people closing connections with me. And so I was like, okay, not compatible. Nobody's fucking compatible. Okay. Nobody's fucking compatible anymore. And that's, I have been knee deep in writing a book. It's called The Next Chapter. Stay tuned for it. And it's all about the dating world and what it has done, like, sociologically to our culture and how, like, statistically speaking, the ability to have a successful relationship is very fucking small. So tiny. Do you know? Okay, I'm gonna tell you one sad statistic, that if you marry somebody under the age of, like, and you're under the age of 30, and do you know what your likelihood is to be continued to be married in your 30s? 10%. That's the success rate, 10%. 90% of people end their marriages when they get married in their 20s, and the second they go to their 30s, they're divorced. And that's fucking wild to me. What? 10% success rate. And that's just like two studies that I saw say the same thing. Two studies. And I was like, that's fucking crazy. 10%. I am over here like, it's more likely that I have IBS or celiac disease than having a successful relationship. And so somebody who, like, my podcast is about relationships. It's about connections. You know, there's kink in there too, but it's about, like, people. And I'm like over here. And one of the reasons why I've been having a hard time recording this episode is that I'm hopeless. And it's likely the grieving, you know, it's likely the grief that I'm feeling, the emotional roller coaster that I've been on. You know, I haven't really, like, experienced grief like this before in my life. I never really had a loss like this one. I guess, like, I was like, so all my eggs in one basket, yep, this is it for life for me, when that person approached me and said that they wanted a divorce and they didn't want to talk about it, they didn't want to fight for it, they were just like, yeah, I'm done. We're not compatible. I was surprised, to say the least. So I wasn't ready, you know, like, I wasn't emotionally or mindfully ready for that departure of the relationship. And so this, like, level of grief, I have spent months, because this happened in December and it is currently April. Tomorrow's my birthday. It's currently April. And so first of all, holy fuck, it's been 4 months. What? But, you know, like, time flew by and I'm still in this, like, emotional grieving state. And I have never been single in my life. I've never been the single girl. I've never been in, like, actually single. So the amount of paths that I have before me are pretty, like, open, pretty limitless, which is also very scary and intense and overwhelming, when every time I used to make a decision, I would refer to a partner, because I haven't been single since I was 13 years old. Like, I have back-to-back partners. The longest I think I've been single was a day, you know, like, and because that's because I was dating unethically, and so I always had a backup plan. But, like, the last decade I have been with two, like, firm partners. So, like, for me to, oh, there's a gopher. Okay, distracted. Oh my God, I'm looking at a gopher and it is the cutest little thing. I'm outside because you know where I live? I live with a roommate, because the world is, you cannot afford the world right now as a single person. I don't know what city you are in or where you are listening to this, but the world is expensive. And here in Canada, everything costs an arm and a leg and possibly your liver. And that's the story. Anyways, rant about that is over. I am going to cope with the fact that I'm going to be poor forever with my 10% fucking success rate. I wonder what the statistics is for a roommate. Like, is there a success rate for a roommate? Like, what are the odds that I'm going to be moving 15 times in the next fucking year? Thank God. Okay, but for real, the amount of unlimited paths I have before me are overwhelming, because it's like, okay, so this is the first time I've been able to step back and be like, am I non-monogamous? Am I possibly monogamous? Am I not relating well? Do I need to learn how to be in relationship better? Do I need to explore my patterns, the people I'm choosing to be in relationship with? do I need to date completely different kind of people to see for science where I'm going wrong, where it's going wrong, you know? And is my vagina leading me the wrong way? You know, like, is she so dissolved? Like, because I feel like that's half my problem, is that I end up being sexually attracted to people that aren't really invested in me, you know? And, like, listen, there's this dude. I named him Trash. And Trash is fucking phenomenal in bed. And I really like having sex with Trash, but we are completely incompatible. Like, we could be really good relationship if he could get his head out of his ass and realize I'm a good person. But instead, it's the most closest thing I've ever had to a situationship. Only calls me, like, or texts me, like, maybe once a month when he's coming into town from work. Hey, most of the time, he forgets that we even had plans. You know, just, like, he's not a very cool person. But here I am, like, pay attention to me. You emotionally unavailable person. And I think it's because my vagina leads me astray. And so I, you know, for science, was talking to a monogamous person. And I was like, okay, this monogamous person, like, we hit on a lot of levels of compatibility. Not all, but a few. And especially sexual. You know, he definitely appeared looking like my type. And so, unfortunately, I forgot how monogamous people function. Okay. Like, I don't know, like, how, if you are LS, if you're poly, but when you're non-monogamous, you know, and I've been non-monogamous for a decade, I forget those little details that are actually really important for a monogamous person, for faithfulness, or what appears to be faithfulness and security. And, like, when this dude was like, yeah, I don't want you, because I do Shibari, I don't want you to be tied by another dude. And I was like, excuse me? What? Like, that's not, like, they're just my friends. Like, I don't have a sexual relationship with some of the people I tie with. We just tie and it's fun and I go upside down and I come back up and it's all good and we had a good interaction, right? But they are not okay with that. Like, severely not okay. Like, it's a boundary. They're like, oh yeah, I do not want my partner having intimacy with another person. And I was like, what? In what world? Like, and it just made me realize, I'm like, oh, is this person just, like, really insecure? Or, like, is that how most monogamous people function these days? Because I haven't been monogamous in so long, I'm genuinely curious. And so I dipped my toe on that path of monogamy, and then I quickly dipped my toe back out of monogamy. Like, that is not a path. I have male friends. I have so many male friends. And I'm not going to give up having male friends because someone is so insecure with their fear of loss that they haven't been in touch with those parts of themselves yet. Where in non-monogamy, if we're not functioning well, non-monogamy, those are some things we really have to address. And so what I'm trying to say here is that dating sucks. I don't know where I fit anymore. And even, like, guys, I have no kids, okay? I have no kids. I have no pets. I could live anywhere in the world. Why do I live somewhere where it's fucking freezing, frigid cold? I don't know. I have a lot of friends here. My community's here. That's the only thing keeping me here. But, like, it's just, you know, some people would be really excited about all these options. For me, I feel dread. I feel dread. I feel overwhelmed and panicked. It's a lot. It's a lot. So what I am going to be doing in this update, in this episode, the intention of this episode is not only for an update, because Jen's life is wild and you never know what's happening with Jen. It is also to be like, okay, if you guys are in the same boat, if you're single or you're like, if even if you're in relationship and you're like, I don't know what next path to take. I don't know. Like, I have lots of partners, but I still don't know what, like just like the overwhelm of options or like having all the options. I don't know, man. It's just like, I have no, you know, usually I don't know if you guys know this, but every single episode I've recorded here, I have not drawn up a template. When it's just me, when it's interviews, of course I have some questions and I usually show them the questions beforehand so they can think about it. But like when it's just me, I'm just spitting the ball here. And I'm going to tell you this. Normally I give some kind of golden nugget. I give some kind of like hope. And this girl is hopeless. However, you know what? You know, I do have to say that there was a person that reached out to me, because I usually do like these dancing videos on my Instagram for like my normal Instagram. And she reached out to me and she's like, just so you know, your energy was a super big light for me when I was in a really dark place and you gave me a little bit of hope. And I was like, oh. And then, you know, so that's one person saying that I gave them hope. And then another person, I was mentoring them and they were like, I was having such a hard time in this non-monogamous situation. And because of the way we talked and because of the solutions you possibly offered me, I feel as though I have hope going forward in my non-monogamous relationship. And that is amazing. I love that. And I'm still over here like, hopeless. I bet you it's more than 10%. The failure rate. It's got to be. Because especially, okay, listen. I am so picky, okay, about who my partners are. I don't settle for shit. I used to settle for a lot, but there is some things I will never settle for again in my life, and that is any kind of mediocre sex. The sex got to be fucking wild, okay? I am a sexy sex like person, and I need to have a good sexual connection with somebody who can match my energy, right? And also, like, a person who lives in integrity, like, truly lives in integrity. Their word is gold, you know? And they are actually a safe person that you can, like, bring anything to and, like, can communicate on my standard. So that number, that 10% success rate, like, I wonder how many of that 10% is it's going to go down based on the fact like, oh, this person's not very living in a place of integrity. Oh, this person doesn't know how to communicate. Oh, this person, only wants your vagina. this person can't handle the fact that you have other sexual partners. Like, ugh. Or that I'm kinky. Oh God, it's a whole other path. I'm a kinky non-monogamous person who's also witchy and juju. I'm too niche. Maybe I should become more broad. Nah. So moral of the story is I have no nugget here. This is essentially, I think I'm gonna do a series of like how this progresses. And I'm gonna do it at different times while I'm like, especially when I meet someone and I'm like, ooh, I'm excited about this person, I'm gonna talk about this person. And then like afterwards when that person shits a bed and I'm like, boy oh boy, I was wrong again. Stay tuned. Maybe this will give you some form of entertainment. Maybe you'll be in agreement and you're like, yes, this girl, she hears me, she's the same, she's living the same boat as I am. And maybe I'll come back in another episode with more feedback for hope of what we should be doing. Oh, I'm going to plug myself here. I have started doing mentorship one-on-ones with people. And I have been doing it in a pretty cool way where I let the people lead where we go. So I am a fetish expert. We can talk about how to embrace your fetishes, where to find your fetishes, what to do with your fetishes. We can talk about Boundaries, how to set them, what they look like, things to look out for. We can talk about relationship agreements and rules. We can talk about non-monogamy, relationship structuring. We can talk about time management. Oh my God, I can go on and on. Literally endless opportunity. So if you guys want to work together with me, I'm doing a lot of one-on-ones lately, and I would be happy to work with you. Just reach out to me either on My Choose One podcast on Instagram, and that's pretty much it. just find me there. And then hopefully we can work together. If you guys are in the Edmonton area, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, I will be doing a whole bunch of workshops this summer at different festivals throughout the city. I'll be doing workshops at different hotel takeovers across Canada. So if you guys want to hire me, or you want to recommend me to come teach a workshop at an event that you are running, let me know. Mad love, everybody.